Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers podcast presented by the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Yo Legazzo, and I'm joined by my brother John Webb Legazzo, and we also have McKay Westbrook here with us today. So, guys, before we start, we want to give credit where credit's due, right? And take the time to first congratulate the Milwaukee Bucks for winning this year's championship. I think we held the title, the crown, for like 9 months, 10 months, maybe 9 months, maybe 8 months. Kind of a awkward, weird season, right? Just a year. But man, congratulations to the Bucks. Me, having lived in Milwaukee for 3 years, I think seen a lot of stuff going there. I was there during the 2016 Milwaukee riots that kind of upended Milwaukee and the city. So I saw they had the parade today, and I, you know, had to celebrate with them vicariously while I'm working here, and the whole city probably took the day off and had the parade. But man, happy for Giannis too, man. He really fulfilled Kobe's last challenge for him to win the championship. But man, let me give this time to you guys to give some props for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Absolutely. I mean, Giannis deserved it. He's been an amazing competitor for the last, you know, multiple years. He's had a pair of MVP runs and Defensive Player of the Year. He's just an incredible player. And to see him, especially in this last game, go and put the rest of his team on his back and be able to carry with, you know, one of the greatest finals performances that we've ever seen. 50 points, I think 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. What an incredible game. He deserved it. He went out and got it. They've been searching for this for the last few years. I know I've said in the past that it would be cool to see the Suns win it because they beat the Lakers this year, but hey, the Bucks deserved it. They went out there, they competed hard. Even with a 2-0 deficit, they went and got 4 games straight. Props to them.
Yeah, I picked the Suns to win. I have to eat my prediction and give kudos and props when it's due. The Bucks did it. Giannis did it. There was some good basketball, some dominant basketball in that series. 50 years, like you mentioned, since the Bucks' last championship, and Giannis dropped a point for each of those years. So, nuck if you buck.
Yeah, man, dude, I'm so happy for Giannis, dude. Just the journey that he had. When I was in Milwaukee, he was just, I say scrawny, but he still had some muscle, you know. And he was still tall and big and athletic. But when I was there, man, Jabari Parker was the biggest thing in Milwaukee Bucks, and Middleton and Giannis were up and coming. So I'm happy for the city because they did it with those two quote unquote homegrown players, right? And took it all the way and won this year's championship. But Matt, look, I want to take a pause there and then quickly pivot to the Lakers, right? Because I want to have a discussion about specifically what the Lakers can learn from the Bucks team this year, and in terms of the roster construction next season. I know aside from Giannis, you know, what was the other thing that was going for Milwaukee that they took advantage of, right? And for me, I think it was the two guards in Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. When I think about that, I compare and contrast that with the Suns, CP3 and Devin Booker. And then obviously us, we had Schroeder and KCP, who both teams have more or less smaller guards than Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. So, you know, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this, and see where this heads. You know, what do we want to try and find bigger guards this offseason? Is that the lesson that we need to take from the Bucks this season, just because they were bigger and stronger, more athletic than any of the teams that they faced?
I think, you know, first off, shout out to Monty Williams. What a classic coach to go into the winning side's locker room while they're celebrating confetti, wine, and just congratulate them on a great series. You know, saying the Bucks made Monty a better coach, hats off to him, really. Really, people are going to say that the Suns beat themselves, but I think the Bucks' defensive commitment to stopping the pick and roll was really the key. The defensive intensity and the focus on those sets. And I think that's what the Lakers should emulate, is to get back to that winning defense. You know, the Bucks have these guys, right? Giannis, Tucker, Portis, who are high engine guys who can make those switches. I think for us to compete next year, we need to be able to find bigs and guards, you know, those big combo guards that you're talking about that can compete in those switches and really mask each other's deficiencies there.
I want to talk about that for a little bit. Sorry about that, McKay. But like defensively, like you were talking about, to compete against those switches, right? I think about our series with the Suns, right? Where the Suns really punished us for having those two smaller guards in Dennis Schroeder and KCP. And they basically forced the switch, right? With Ayton oftentimes. And it resulted in a possession where Schroeder or KCP had to defend Ayton down low. And obviously, they were no match for Ayton's size and physicality, his athleticism, and they took advantage of that. The Suns took advantage of that. I don't know how many times they did that in the series, because there is too many. And I feel like we just got smaller this season with that lineup. Last season, when we think about the 2020 championship Lakers, I guess two seasons before, because last season was this season now. Right. We had Danny Green and KCP. Danny Green's like 6'6" and he's big, right? He's a big guard. So I think it was okay to have a smaller guard like KCP and then Danny Green or Bradley and Danny Green, followed up with Alex Caruso. But having two smaller guards like Schroeder, especially, he's 6'1", kind of, you know, still athletic but scrawny, right? And then KCP, I mean, I think that was defensively, it didn't work out. I think for me, the Bucks showed me is that they had taller, bigger guards, and that was one of the key elements to how they, you know, won the championship, their title run, and how they beat the Phoenix Suns.
You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, that the Suns kind of took advantage of us in that way, because I saw, especially in game six of the finals, that the Milwaukee Bucks did the exact same thing to the Suns. I saw, you know, the Chris Paul on Giannis multiple times, and, you know, he was getting back down, and they were able to make those switches. And so that was really how they were able to take advantage. I know a lot of people thought that the Milwaukee Bucks, I guess, style of play was not up to current NBA standards in terms of what it's turned into, with kind of a smaller lineup and less emphasis on the big man. I think that was a lot of why people thought that they couldn't take it all. And Giannis really proved him wrong this year. I think to a degree, you know, we look at all these things. We want to max out our 2K settings. You know, we want to have max height, max shooting availability, shooting percentage. You know, I mean, you know, there's going to be some things that we got to pick and choose. But looking at some of our options that we're considering in terms of bigger guards, you look at somebody like Lonzo Ball, who's a great defender. I was very impressed with his stint with the Lakers and his ability to defend. He got a lot of flack, of course, for his shooting, but he did everything else very well. His passing ability, his ability on the defensive end was great. And so for reasons like that, I absolutely think that that could be a big advantage. You know, I watched Chris Middleton this last, or during the playoffs, toast people like crazy. You know, he didn't have problems getting up and shooting over people. Even when Devin Booker was on him, you know, the smaller guard. So that absolutely could be part of the solution. I think defensive capability can at times be a determining factor, especially when, you know, these guards are forced into these unfavorable matchups. It's definitely a little bit better if they're toe to toe, a little closer in size. Is that necessarily what we need? You know, I guess we'll see. This, it's hard to say. I don't want to take anything away from the Bucks this year, but obviously this playoffs had a lot of injuries. It was very injury stricken to a lot of teams. Who knows what would have happened if everybody was healthy. It's, you know, you're never going to have the ultimate ideal situation in any given playoffs, but this one was particularly injury ridden. But, you know, kind of hard to say. I wouldn't mind getting somebody like Lonzo back to have a good defensive anchor in the backcourt, and that could absolutely be a difference maker on a bigger guard on the perimeter, or defending a bigger man underneath.
Yeah, and really, it's funny because you mentioned the big man. You know, Giannis proved it. I think the Lakers proved it last year too, with, you know, AD and LeBron.
Yep.
The big man is still part of the NBA game today, and really, if you look at the series, it was based on which big three would be the most consistent, despite the defensive adjustments, the play calling, or the injuries. The Suns, CP3, Booker, Ayton, or Giannis, Middleton, and Drew of the Bucks, right? Honestly, I think the Lakers need to stay with their game plan this offseason, and that was three things, right? And Rob Pelinka alluded to that. Number one, find that secondary playmaker, whether it's through the draft, free agency, or sign and trade. The last option is more of, you know, I wouldn't do it, right? The sign and trade thing, because it would trigger that hard cap for us. And it'd be hard to fill those positions unless you're going to get a lot of those veterans, you know, veteran minimum deals. Who knows? You know, find more consistent and reliable shooting. And you mentioned it, McKay, I think Lonzo would be up there, like the highest priority for me. You know, players like CP3, Mike Conley, Lowry, you know,
Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah, fit this mold. They fit this mold, but it does require us to do that sign and trade type stuff, you know. Is Westbrook the answer? I don't know, guys.
I don't know, man, but he did average a triple-double last season. And again, look, he's a bigger, taller guard, right? When McKay, you were talking about Chris Middleton and how he was able to just pull up and have so much space and so much, you know, air between him and the other guards to shoot over him. And just because he was taller and bigger. And that also goes with like the passing. I saw so many times when the Suns had, put a double team on him, and Chris Middleton just simply passed it over. He was taller than any of the other two guards that were double teaming him. And so, it was easy. And oftentimes it made it, easy for Giannis or someone to be open. Because of that. So I don't know. I think we need going with Lonzo. He's a bigger, taller guard, and he's a playmaker. Westbrook is a bigger, taller guard. He's a playmaker as well. I mean, I know everybody bags on him because of his bricks, right? But I think mm-hmm. Westbrook would be a great addition. I don't know about giving the report said that it had to involve Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, and Talon Horton-Tucker. That was a recent report about a potential sign and trade with Russell Westbrook. But we'll see about that. I just know that I know that the Lakers just offered THT a qualifying offer to keep him. So THT might be staying for a while, or he might be getting traded. A sign and trade kind of thing, but who knows?
Yeah, there's value in having big guards, but the more important thing for the Lakers this offseason really is to get that secondary playmaker, followed closely, right, by consistent outside shooting. And Lonzo has always been a playmaker, but the last 2 years he's really improved his shooting. I think, you know, he's shooting what, 40% from the three?
Still, I think it was like 37-38% from 3-point line. Crazy.
Close enough. That's better than when he was with the Lakers.
That's better than Kuzma.
Ouch. All right. Shots fired.
Hey, it's one of those things that, I mean, you know, the numbers don't lie. As much as people bag on Lonzo, and you know, some people think he had his chance and don't want to have him back, I think he could be great. If he's got that mentality that he's ready to come in and prove the haters wrong and not shy underneath the bright lights of LA. If he's ready to come in and do that and have a second chance with us, that would be great. Westbrook, I think that could potentially be a great piece for us. He's an absolute killer. He's hungry, you know, he's getting later into his career. And I think he's starting to realize that, hey, if I want to get a ring, like I got to do it here soon. In terms of what is being asked for him, I don't know that it's necessarily too much, you know, for a big name player like Westbrook, if he can continue to produce the way he's done, that could be the piece that we need. Talen Horton-Tucker, I know we see the potential in him and what he can be. LeBron's not going to be here too many more years, I don't think. The time to win is now. Got to get it done now. With Russell Westbrook, the odds are, I would think, almost certainly higher than with somebody like THT. Just thinking that Schroeder and Kuzma were probably already going to be on their way out. That's kind of the way that I'm weighing it in my mind, that those two were already probably in plans to be shipped out. And Talen Horton-Tucker is kind of that X factor, the determining factor, whether or not we want to go forward with a deal of that magnitude. you know, if not, I would love to see THT continue to grow and develop with the Lakers. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. He already is. But very exciting, exciting rumors for the Lakers for this next season.
For sure, for sure. All right, guys, man, we're going to go take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to leave this discussion behind. We're going to talk and focus on the NBA draft. It's coming up this next week. So we're going to talk about who are who's the media talking about, who that the Lakers might pick up on with our 22nd pick. And then, and then we'll go from there. But guys, we'll talk to you guys soon. Welcome back to the Hashtag Lakers podcast. I'm here with McKay and John Webb. So draft night is next Thursday, July 29th. Lakers have the 22nd pick. Guys, what do you think of the current draft projections that major media outlets are saying that the Lakers might pick up? I'm going to list them here. Let's have a discussion on them, and then maybe we'll also have a discussion on what you want, who you want to the Lakers to pick that might be more realistic. So Sports Illustrated and USA Today, they picked Cameron Thomas from LSU. He's 6'4" and he's 19. He's a freshman. We also have CBS Sports and Bleacher Report picking Jared Butler from Baylor. Baylor, if you guys don't recall, won the championship this year, the NCAA championship this year. He's a guard as well, a 6'3". SB Nation, they have Bones Highland. They picked Bones Highland, and he's from VCU. He's a guard as well, 6'3". And then we have The Athletic, and then a Net Scout Basketball picking Ayo Dosunmu. I think that's how you say his last name, Dosunmu. He's a junior. He's a little bit older than the rest of the guys that had said before. And he's a bit taller. He's 6'5", and he's from the University of Illinois. And there's also a report that came out today that other teams around the league reportedly think that the Lakers gave a promise to Oregon's Chris Duarte. He's 24. He's native of Dominican Republic. And yeah, he's 6'6". He's a bigger guy. He's a wing player. So definitely different from the rest of these guards. So what do you guys think about those, the draft projections and also the report about Chris Duarte? What do you think about these guys?
I mean, so there's definitely a trend in what we're seeing, and every single one of these picks is a guard. So we're obviously looking for something out in the backcourt. I think, you know, we want to have one of those guys that is going to be a reliable pull-up shooter. We want to have somebody that when LeBron James and Anthony Davis get down in deep, we've got somebody to kick out to. And, you know, you see, I feel like with these championship level teams, that is the kind of area of expertise, if you will, where a rookie can come in and really have major contribution. For that reason, I could see the Lakers picking up somebody like Jared Butler, who, like you said, Yoa just got off of a championship run in college. He's got that confidence coming off of that run, and being part of that championship mentality, that championship culture, I think could be extremely beneficial for the Lakers, even though he's coming in as a rookie. In my opinion, that I think is kind of the gold that I'm looking for. you know, you think of these people like, is it Robinson for the Heat, who has been an absolute game changer for them. You know, he's been an incredible shooter, and he almost kind of came out of nowhere. And I feel like that's a spot where we could find some major improvement. We need some help with our three game, and I would love to see any of these guys that can come improve that, join our squad and be a difference maker.
Yeah, McKay, and to your point, you know, a name pops up in my mind, and one that we discuss, you know, Desmond Bain, right, from the Grizzlies. Last year, we talked about him in the pod and wanting to draft him, and guess what? He was a, you know, three-point shooting master this past season.
Yeah.
For this year, I kind of want to see the same thing. You know, for me, I would look for that secondary playmaker in free agency or via trade. I would want a veteran or established guard who's seen and played in NBA games running point when LeBron is off the court during the draft, you know, the first round, I would find, like McKay mentioned, that reliable three-level scorer or someone who's shooting 40% from the three. You know, from the list that you gave, I would definitely go for Jared Butler there. You know, he was shot 42%. But I think what's underrated about him too is he's a playmaker. The dude can create his own shot and he can pass the ball. So if he falls down to number 22, I would definitely get him. You know, I know we worked out Corey Crispert from Gonzaga, but I don't think he's falling down to 22. He's way too good. But maybe someone like Trey Mann from Florida, you know, Chris Duarte from Oregon, you mentioned it.
Yeah, he's good, man.
He's good. Yeah, Chris Duarte is good. Maybe if Trey Murphy, you know, falls all the way
too
down
good.
To 22.
He's too good.
We'll see. Maybe.
He's a wing, man.
Yeah. But, you know, let's talk about this a little bit. If the 22nd pick is packaged for a trade, right? I'm still buying a second round pick because this is a deep, deep guard draft. You know, you mentioned Ayo Dosunmu, right? I mean, he's projected for the most part in the second round. You know, I'd buy a second round pick, maybe two, if we can swing it. you know, get someone like Joe Weiskamp from Iowa, right? Just that spot up shooter, Josh Christopher from Arizona State. But maybe, you know, if that 22nd round pick isn't packaged, I'll pick up a shooter in the first round and I'll pick up a center in the second round. You know, we worked out, you mentioned it a couple episodes back, but Kata, right, from Utah State, he'd be good. Or maybe Charles Bassey from Western Kentucky. Who else? Olivier Sarr from Kentucky as well deserves a long look. So I don't know. There's a lot of options. It's a deep, deep draft for guards, and there could be someone for us.
Yeah, for sure. I think you're right that it's totally possible that we trade off the 22nd pick, and especially if we're gonna get someone like we're gonna go for someone like Westbrook or Kyle Lowry or some star out there that wants to leave their current situation, maybe even Damian Lillard. That and we need to somehow trade the number 22nd pick and a few other assets like Kyle Kuzma and Dennis Schroeder. Right, for Dame Lillard, anything,
all
man.
Day, sell the farm.
but I mean, who knows? Maybe the Lakers will keep their 22nd pick. Maybe they won't find a trade partner after all. I'd like them to get Jared Butler if he ends up being still available. I mean, he's one of the great guards out there in the draft class right now. Just because of his championship experience with Baylor against Gonzaga teams, he scored 22 points, had 7 assists in that win against Gonzaga. I mean, he's shooting what you said, 42% from deep. That's exactly what we need, a spot up shooter. And he has high basketball IQ. But a lot of people talk about his offensive game, but I think he's a good enough defender as well to hold his own. Chris Duarte is another person that I would like, because he's a wing player. He's 6'6". He shot 42% today.
Yep. Also 42%.
42% shot 81% of his free throws. McKay, you are a lover of free throw percentages for any person. And he's also a great perimeter defender. I mean, he's a wing defender. So they are one of the most valuable types of players out there right now. Those wing players. So I don't know. There's a lot of interest in him, and I'm not surprised that if the Lakers did promise to give him, then I'm not surprised if the Lakers do pick him.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, I trust the Lakers scouting department to do their thing. This scouting team has been nothing but consistent. You can see those seeds across the NBA flowering and doing their thing for their respective teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Every player that the Lakers draft tends to explode, at least, you know, whoever we've drafted in the past, you know, 5-6 years, they've done well for every team. Even the picks that, you know, we haven't really given a ton of playing time, like, you know, Thomas Bryant, Mo Wagner come to mind. They've gone on and played great roles for other teams. You know, so I think we can't go wrong with the group that we have. The question is whether or not that pick will get any kind of playing time with the roster we're trying to develop. It can be difficult for a rookie to break through onto a championship contending team. So we'll see. They may hold the most value in a trade, like Yoa said. I think we're going to try and get another high profile player this offseason, whether it be any of those people that we mentioned, somebody like DeMar DeRozan. I absolutely hope that we can go out and get one of these players. And, you know, if we've got to sacrifice some of these pieces for it, by all means.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I it's a week away. It's kind of crazy that it's so close. Yeah, we'll see what happens. What happens with the 22nd pick, if it gets traded away, if we end up drafting someone. All right, that does it for today, guys. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day. Root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
In the Admiral refrigerator, the door is closed, the lights out. Butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.